Okay, so it looks like we are live here today with the Shakti Rise Immersion. And this is the fall immersion that we are talking about, mostly the dark goddesses of yoga as we move towards the winter solstice. But also we'll be touching on goddesses like Mary and Mother Mary, who we haven't touched on, as she is not in the goddesses of the India tradition. But I'm really excited because we have healer Wendy DeRosa on the line today. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Jeannie.
Yay. And Wendy actually has shared on the Shakti Rise Immersion before, and I'm just delighted to have her back. And I'm going to read your bio now. So Wendy is a national and international intuitive energy healer, teacher, and author. She offers online and in-person classes in intuitive energy healing and developing intuition. Her programs provide extensive education for spiritual growth and personal process for any person wanting to expand their skills, connect to the divine, and experience personal transformation. Having been a yogini since 1993, Wendy teaches from a deep background in yoga. She practices with many teachers over the past 20 years, and she's the founder of the School of Intuitive Studies and the Healer Training Program. She has appeared on CBS News, Better Connecticut, four times in 2013 and 14, and she just released her third book, Expanding Your Heart, Awakening Through Four Stages of Spiritual Opening, and Energy Healing through the Chakras, A Guide to Self-Healing. And you have another book called Bouncing Back.
Bouncing Back.
Thriving and Changing. Wow, and that's with Wayne Dyer, Brian Tracy, John Asaroff, and other leaders in personal growth. And you have a new book. I just mentioned Expanding Your Heart.
Yeah, Expanding Your Heart is the third one. That's the new book.
Wow, three books. That's impressive. Well, I just want to say, you know, I know Wendy personally. She's been in my yoga classes, and she has this most divine presence. And I don't know, I look into your eyes, and I go, healer. Like, right away, I go, healer. And I've had recently the experience of working with Wendy in one of her intuitive energy healing sessions, and it really was quite impactful for me, and I really have lived into some of the information that came through that reading and has really helped me understand what's happening in my life, what's processing, what needs to be strengthened in me. So I kind of want to just start with, you know, my own personal experience of your work.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for that. because, you know, it's one thing to have a feeling of your intuition, and it's another thing to, you know, hone your skills. And I feel like I have a lot of intuition, but I don't always hone my skills, and it feels like that's a lot of your work, is teaching people how to recognize their own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you know, this program is about the rise of consciousness around the integration of the divine feminine with, of course, the divine masculine, and the necessity for all people, men and women alike, to understand what it means to integrate masculine and feminine, and that women do have a particular role at this time on the planet to harness their gifts and to be healers. That's how I see it. It's like women, and particularly Western women, who have the time, energy, and resources to step up and really make a difference in healing the planet. So that's, you know, of course, the premise of this program. And then we are diving into all kinds of archetypes of goddesses and how we can learn about ourselves and about our shadow and our light through the lens of the goddess. And so I know from our last interview that you have had some profound experiences with Mother Mary, and I would just love for you to go through that story or those stories again and illuminate your experience, and also in that connection to, you know, Mother Mary, and what does she have to offer to us today on the planet? What can we learn from her archetype and her energy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, Mother Mary, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's a little foggy.
It's a little foggy?
Yeah, are you on a speakerphone?
I'm on a headset.
Headset. It's yes. That sounds better.
Okay. Let me I'm sorry. Is this better?
Yes, that's better.
All right. Okay, great.
So we want the goddess Swatch here. You know, the goddess of speech needs to be strong.
Yes. I did call in Sarah Swati.
That's good.
Getting settled here. So, Saraswati, I should guess.
Yes.
So Mother Mary we know her as the mother of Jesus. And I want to say that much right now and then backtrack a little bit into how she is has become a part of, I say a goddess that I turn to often in my healing work for myself and for others. So I have had, growing up, I'm the oldest girl of 8 kids. I have one older brother. And I was raised Catholic, which was pretty strict in my family. I mean, it was pretty ingrained. I was a Catholic school. I was a, church school. I went to everything you can imagine. Spirituality was really impactful in my life growing up. And I had my rebellions with it, but I couldn't ever deny, especially having become a healer, that spiritual backbone or that nourishment fed me in a way that gave me the spiritual backbone that I have now, even though I went through my own kind of process with, moving away from it and then finding spirituality in a different way. But as an oldest girl of 8, my story in my childhood was an intense one for me, and we didn't have much. We weren't raised with very much money, I went to work when I was 12 years old, and I babysat and I took care of people, and I had a very strong caretaker nature inside me, and I helped raise my siblings. I babysat and gave all my money to my family to pay for bills because there just wasn't enough. And I didn't have, quote unquote, a normal childhood in the way that some people from peers of mine did at the time. What seemed to be normal at the time was to be able to play and enjoy yourself and be a teenager and be a, high schooler or an adolescent, and I knew how to change diapers since I was 7 years old. And so by the time I got, all the while this is all happening, I was very intuitive, and I didn't know it at the time. I actually thought there was something wrong with me. And then I ended up absorbing everything that was going on around me because part of my intuitive gift was empathic, and as I'm sure fellow empaths can relate to the fact that we just, can just absorb or take on the energy around us if we don't know what it is. We don't know what empathy or empathic intuition is. So I blew up as a very chubby kid, and I gained weight, and I always struggled with my weight, but it had to do with my sensitivity levels. And what ended up happening when I went off to college was that I went through my freshman year, and by my sophomore year, I had a nervous breakdown because I was, self-pressured around school. I didn't get a break. I was in a city. I was in Boston. My nervous system was shot. I just didn't have, I just went from being a workaholic kid to a workaholic college student. And then I had this nervous breakdown, and I felt called. And this is like the first time I was starting to feel what I kind of feel now with Mother Mary energy within me, or like a calling within me to move. And I felt like very guided by a mothering internal feeling or voice. And I didn't know what it was at the time, but I felt called to Boulder. I was 19. And I just felt called, and I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, but I thought if I left school now, it was mid-semester, I would forfeit my tuition and and put myself into a risky situation. And so one night my friend and I were walking down Massachusetts Avenue towards Newbury Street in downtown Boston, and there used to be a Tower Records on the corner. And I remember we took a left heading down Newbury Street, and a couple steps past, taking that turn, a man approached myself and my friend and said, "Can I sing you a song for some spare change?" And I noticed him, and he was wearing this red jacket, and he had a ukulele, and he had this beautiful glow around his head. And I thought, I glanced back and said, "No, that's okay. I've engaged with talking with my friend, my roommate at the time about, do I stay or do I go?" He said, "Wendy, forget about the change. I'm going to sing you a song. I'd like to sing you a song." He called me by name. And at that point, I stopped and I just stared at, I just looked at him. And he said, "You need to hear this song." And so he got down on one knee and he sang this song, "Home on the Range, where the buffalo roam. One day you're going to get to Colorado." And he finished the song. I was in shock listening to it. And he stood up and he said, "Wendy, it's not your time to go yet. You're going to get there. Hang in there a little bit longer." And he gives me a kiss on the cheek, and he vanishes. He just takes off behind me. And my roommate next to me looks at me, and we look back. The guy is completely gone. I'm standing there at Newbury Street and just in shock, and she runs off to see if she can find wherever he went. I don't even know what happened. I don't even know how long she was gone, but she came back a couple of minutes later and said, "I don't know where he went. Do you know what that was?" And I said, "I absolutely know what that was." Oh, and he told me his name was Arias. That was another part of this. He said his name was Arias. And I thought, at the time, that moment, I was dealing with panic attacks and anxiety, which I come to end up looking back now, I'm realizing that that's the beginning of the spiritual heart opening for me. And that's part of just to kind of, I'm sort of segueing between Mother Mary and this story, and that Mother Mary, part of her work in the world she birthed Christ consciousness into the world, and Christ consciousness, whether you're religious or spiritual or not, the Christ consciousness energy is the pure heart light and light of Jesus the healer. And that energy is said to be given to or birthed through healers. And not every, using this word, ordained healer or self-healer, self-made healer, is necessarily said to, may not know that they carry this energy, but this energy comes through the sacred spiritual heart opening and being able to facilitate that the qualities of the sacred heart that Jesus had, but it's also the sacred healing heart that Mother Mary brings, so the healing energy that Mother Mary brings. So in that moment, when I was walking down Newbury Street and my friend and I were processing what had just happened, I remember calling my mom shortly after and saying, "Mom," and my mom's very spiritual and very prayerful. And I said, "Mom, I have to tell you what happened." And I told her, and she said, "Wendy, I sent you that angel." And I, at the time, believe me, I mean, I think we've all probably had life experiences with our parents are the source of all our problems. my mother yes. was, and she, and you know, and she's, I said, Mom, why are you, why do you take responsibility for everything spiritual that happens in my life? You know, I was so upset at the time, you know, and I couldn't hear her, and I, you know, I ended the conversation, and then 10 years later, more than 10 years, probably 15 years later, when I was doing a book signing for my second book, my mom was in the audience, and I was telling her this, I was telling the audience this story, and I said, Mom, do you remember that story? And she said, yes, and what I remember is I took out a book at, out of the library that, it was a Catholic book, and it said something about how to be with your children when you can't be with them, and it was about sending angels to your children. And she said, I picked the angel Arias because I knew he could reach you through song. Because I was a musician.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So your mama set all that up? Oh, that is wild.
So she said. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, I mean, but that's the power, of spirit. And what... You know, in that particular story, it was an angel. But what was happening was that this healer energy was expanding also within me, and I was being guided. And so I ended up leaving Boston. I finished the semester. I left Boston. I moved to Colorado. And, you know, through a series of events, I ended up meeting my healing teacher and started on this path. But what happened in my healing practice is that Mother Mary kept coming to me. And I kept getting messages. I by this point, I was in a big rebellion about spirituality and religion because it was quite, you know, shoved down my throat. And so I didn't utter the word God. I definitely wasn't going to go to a church. And I, you know, went through a really strong resistance about spirituality, but and about God in particular. Because God meant something in Catholicism that's different than what it means to me now. But what ended up happening is Mother Mary kept coming to me in my meditations and visions, and she would always come with a blue light, this beautiful blue light, and she would say, I'm cleaning your brow. Let me put my hand on your brow. Let me anoint you with peace. Or let me anoint you with healing. Let me put my hands on your heart. And I just would, like, do these profound healings with Mother Mary, and it was completely self-guided or self, it was like a private experience. I hadn't read about her doing this. I didn't know much about it. But she started to communicate through me and to me and through me about and saying things like that I'm here to help you, and I'm here to be to help you. I'm here to be the mother that you need right now, and that she would give me messages like, I am here to mother the children and mother the mothers. And what I've come to find, like, learn over my years of having this experience with Mother Mary, is that she is a part of developing the spiritual consciousness that's within us. And it's what I would call, and I'd probably use some of, you know, your terms of, like, awakening the divine feminine and the Shakti energy inside. And she's part of that, was part of that clearing of the veil, you know, releasing what's false around me to help nurture me in a way to bring this healer energy forward, or this Christ consciousness and divine feminine, or whatever the, you know, that spiritual energy is. She was helping me grow up inside myself. So
yeah I was just going to say that I feel as if the that consciousness itself is mm-hmm. healing us, and when we have a relationship, you know, whatever that relationship is, whether it's, you know, through the visions of Mary, or, you know, yesterday I had an interview with a woman named Kali, and it was definitely through the energy of Kali that she was having these huge shifts and transformations. And So, you know, when we talk about, you know, this healing energy, it's like everyone has it. It's consciousness mm-hmm. itself, and how it chooses to move through us is all very unique and very, I think this is the fascinating part for me, is to hear each interview and each stream slightly different and each experience mm-hmm. quite unique. But that healing quality and the awakening quality of consciousness in these different archetypes is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, just to touch on your question of like why it's so important now, how she can be useful to people now, is that I had to read about Mother Mary after she kept coming to me, and what I had, some of the things I had read is that she does come to women. She helps women in particular, or mothers who need mothering. And I think I'm speaking for everybody listening and for us, but I'm sure we've all been in that situation where, you know, we're tired, we're run down, we're, you know, perhaps disconnected, we're, you know, we need some help, we feel alone. And this vision, invoking or praying to or calling in that frequency of Mother Mary, as she carries this very nurturing energy, and sometimes part of what we're so struggling with is like a lack of nurturing, or the feeling like suffering arises when we're disconnected from source.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we're brought back into alignment, and Mother Mary can, there's lots of things that help us come into alignment, but Mother Mary can really help bring that nurturing sense of just, if I just bring you a nice warm blanket and this beautiful blue energy, and you can just relax into my arms, and you will just ease right into alignment. No force, no pushing, you know, nothing, no forcing it. It's just very easily loving you back into yourself. Mm. And so I use that imagery of like the blue light, or if I ask for her to be here, I just see that blue light around myself, or I'll feel her, you know, I'll either ask for this, or this will just kind of happen through my meditations, where I'll just feel one hand on my heart, on the front of my heart, and one hand on the back, like she's holding my heart chakra, and just holding my heart. And how amazing, sometimes when we don't have somebody to do hands-on work for us, you know, it's just creating that imagery, invoking that sense that she can be there to help mother us and nurture us and create more of a sense of spiritual presence to help. And sometimes it's really helpful when our bonding, our early childhood bonding, has some wounding in it. It's like when we can just rebond to Mother Mary and just ask for her. It's clean, it's unconditional, it's loving. And it's just a beautiful way to come back to self.
Mm. I love hearing about her energy because it seems so soft and caring and nurturing. And, you know, in the form of, like, you know, Kali, it can be, you know, quite... it's very fierce love. It's incredibly primal love,
yeah,
that Kali brings, but it's also can be very intense. It can be very upheaval in your life. A lot of sort of destructive endings of cycles, you know, we can identify as very Kali-esque. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course, like the floods here a few Septembers ago, just intense water flooding the city of Boulder and my home, and, you know, the destruction of the material and the reawakening of new pathways. And so it's a very different energy. As I'm sitting here, like, I had my eyes closed and I was just feeling this blue energy and the softness. And you know, I do feel like we need this kind of nurturing as well. It's, it mm-hmm. feels very like a mother cradling a child.
Well, it makes me think, too, and maybe this is a conversation, I can't remember if you and I have had this or if I've heard even you say this, but the there's so many facets of the divine feminine. I mean, that even, you know, the Durga force, I almost compare Durga to Archangel Michael, you know, with the sword and clarity and strength and like coming right in to like cut away the, you know, what's false. And there's so many, you know, there's so many, I don't know, characteristics or aspects of these goddesses, and all of them are part of the divine feminine, and all of them are necessary for, you know, whatever purpose or reason.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I've asked Sally Kempton, who's one of my teachers, who's written about the goddesses of from the Hindu tradition, mm-hmm. and I would call her an expert in these goddesses, she says that, you know, we have been moving from a very Durga, intense slicing through, you know, to get to the truth, and moving through negative energies to get to this place where Lalita is starting to emerge on the planet. And it's interesting because Lalita is really, she's super embodied. Like she's got Durga and Kali in her, but she's very refined and, you know, loves to sit on the porch with the moon. Like she loves good food and she loves nice clothing. And she, you know, she has this sort of very sophisticated sort of, presence and beauty in the world, and yet she's got a strength that's very raw and very grounded. And mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting comment because I still kind of relate to, like, oh my God, it's kind of intense times. We're coming out of the Kali Yuga, and the age of truth is coming according to the yogis. But boy, we've got a ways to go. We've got, you know, the light is emerging, but man, it's a crack. And so to hear that Lalita is emerging is beautiful because she does have that soft, nurturing quality of Mary, and yet this very incredibly intense sort of warrioress energy of Durga. So more of an integration, as I'm hearing, is more of an integration is coming, which I think what we're moving towards right now is integration. So do you think that Mary has a significant purpose on the planet right now? You know, I just finished Sarah Beek's book on Mary. I'm trying to remember the name of her book. It's a compelling book on Mother Mary and her search for the divine and in the way in which Mary came, so not in the Indian temples, and a very different route.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the divine feminine is coming through, you know, all kinds of places. Certainly not just through India and the goddesses of India.
Yeah. What's her purpose?
Well, I'm just curious, like, at this time on the planet, you know, I mean, I certainly think that many of us need a gentle hand behind the heart and the comfort of the trust of the divine and falling back into her. I mean, I just taught a yoga class on Wednesday that feels like this energy. And it's something that I am learning in my own meditation practice, is how to just receive the divine. Not push it, and not have my own agenda around it, but to literally surrender into her arms.
Yeah, that's what I think. That to me has been my experience with her energy. Is that, you know, I definitely am somebody who could push a mission forward. You know, and I have a very nurturing side to me, but I have a warrior inside me too that can like make things happen. And that part burns me out a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So I like thinking about what the Mother Mary is like. You know, you're not going. She would say, my guess, my spiritual translation, something like, you know, you're not going to get like wherever you're going and wherever you're pushing to is not going to happen through this push. If you can ease back and relax and receive grace, and allow the expansion to happen from the power within you, from the heart opening, from spiritual grace expanding within you. There's power in that. And I think we see, especially, I see it a lot in the conversation about the awakening of the divine feminine, is that there still is a lot of push that comes with that, and it's that we're learning how to ease and restore and replenish and, you know, really be in ourselves in a powerful way and in an illuminant way. Being able to stand in our own illuminance is just as powerful and successful and joyful and all these things, just as much as kind of pushing a mission forward. And both are appropriate, you know.
Yeah, you know, I kind of go back to this sort of yogic language of I just taught the Bhagavad Gita this past weekend, and what comes to mind right now is that when we have a lot of fear and doubt and insecurity, which, you know, the yogis would call the malas, the ways in which we contract or constrict or even crimp our light, has a lot to do with you know, this underlying samskara, this underlying root contraction that is, according to my teachers, in every human being, that we actually incarnate to have this experience of finding our light again, for finding our expression and for finding our truth, our healing. And so if we, you know, as women in particular, and I'm not saying men also struggle with this, but one of the lines in the Gita is, better to do one's dharma poor than to do another's well. And I think it's very important that we allow for the light to stream through us and to trust in that creativity that's coming through each of us as individuals that is adding to this collective tapestry of healing, but to doubt ourselves, to live in fear, to have all this insecurity and feelings of unworthiness, so that we sort of, you know, strive outside of ourselves, is just not going to do it. It's just, it not only does it cause suffering, it doesn't help the planet heal. It doesn't help humanity evolve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm at this place now where my kids are growing up, my hormones are changing, and I am like, thank the goddess I have this practice that I can continue to fall back into that is showing me that I am not the doer. And I just, you know, what I'm getting from my own experience of the divine and of consciousness itself is big lessons in trust in me. You know, this is another teaching from the Gita, is just come back to me. Just remember me. You know, and that's, you know, that's of course in the Gita, it's Krishna talking to Arjuna, but it's Kali talking to you. It's Mary talking to you. It's Lakshmi. It's, you know, Dumavati. There are all these names of consciousness that are trying to speak through us if we can open our ears and become sensitive and feel the gentle hand behind the heart that's guiding us. And I say this with sort of very humbleness, because I also too know how to push, and I also know how to drive my energy and my personality into the world. But I'm learning, and I think at my age, it's sweet to fall back into it more and more and more.
Yeah, definitely. And when we are able to do that, we replenish the yin. We replenish the deep reserve so that we have the fuel to take another step or, you know, to do another effort or task.
Yes. Yeah. So important. I've been talking, I had an interview yesterday, just a little aside here, with a woman that was wanting to write something for some, I think it was a food magazine, and around yoga and balance and moving into the fall. And I just told her, you know, at my age, I'm really listening to what my energy wants right now. And as the weather starts to shift, that I keep listening to, oh, I need a little bit more sleep. Oh, I need more inversions today, or I need to sit today. I need to be at home today, or I need to go out today, or I need soup today. Or, you know, it's like it's that call to listening, which is always seen through Ganesh in the myths, of big ears and openness of receptivity, which I think is what you're saying, is we become more and more receptive, more and more intuitive. And that yin, that more yin, that quietness, it can yield so much peace. And I feel like a lot comes through me when I'm in a peaceful state of mind and body. So I do want to get to this piece on the opening of the heart and in your latest book and the expansion of the heart. And, you know, I think it was a year ago, I interviewed Anadeya Judith for this course. And, of course, she's written many books on the chakras. And her latest book is all about moving energetically from the solar plexus to the heart chakra. She says that this is the heart chakra time on the planet, and I really live into that. I feel like I'm a heart chakra person, so I'm like, yes, I totally relate to this, filtering everything through the heart. And of course, in yoga, we say the heart, but in yoga, we mean like streaming through the central channel as the Hridaya, the heart channel is really the whole entire central channel that is awake. And, you know, when we talk about goddesses, we talk about Kundalini Shakti is really the awakeness of the central channel. And I would love for you to expand on your understanding of the expansion of the heart. And, you know, I'm assuming that this came through you at this time because you're so intuitively connected to your dharma, your purpose, what you nourish and sustain, and how that is serving the planet at this time.
Yeah. So the book came to me. The concept of it came to me about 8 years ago now, and it took me about 7 years to write the book. So it was an evolving process as I was developing and expanding my heart more, and the birth of my child had a lot to do with that too. And so what the book is about is there's four stages of a spiritual opening, and the first stage is an initial heart opening, which can mirror a trauma actually, or a divorce or a separation, all of which could be traumatic, or it can also be the birth of a child or something joyful, but it shifts it has us crack open. And then the second stage is the stage of chaos, and that's the dismantling of everything we thought we knew according to how our structure was formed. Then the third stage is the stage of healing, which is what we choose to move out of chaos. And then the fourth stage is the stage of contemplative being, which is essentially living with more tools in awareness. But the book, specifically about expanding your heart, so I'm going to just describe this in the energetic terms that you're talking about, because this is probably the most concrete way of talking about it. So in the heart chakra, we have a backside, which opens towards the back behind us. We have the center, which is the Hridaya, that's part of the spiritual heart. And you have the front of the heart that opens up in front of us. And so what happens is we within the spiritual path, so we learn to love typically and through bonding and through our human connections initially. And that happens in the developmental stages of the heart chakra. It happens through emotional healing or physical touch. We're developing connection to humanity through the front side of the heart. But the back side of the heart is where we receive spiritual grace. That's where we receive all that loving, nurturing, either spiritual download of information and love and unconditional love, or we receive that from our family, our parents, and our family receiving that love from behind us, and we take that in, and that helps us foster self-love. So as we receive love in through the backside of the heart chakra, it migrates in towards the center of the heart, and that's where we start to develop the Hridaya, the spiritual heart opening, and that helps us stay in balance, stay balanced between the spiritual heart in the backside of the heart chakra and the front side, which engages with humanity. So if we're giving and receiving through the front side of the heart only and the back side is closed down, then we're experiencing conditional love. It's the sense of, I give to you from my heart. If you don't give back to me, I'm going to feel resentful or rejected. And
so,
yet,
so interesting. Go ahead.
Well, if we open up the backside of the heart chakra and engage with spirit and allow either prayer or intention or love or light, whatever it is, to come in through the backside of the heart, then we have resource. And we have plenty to give, and we don't expect back the same way because we're being met from a higher consciousness.
Mm.
So the expansion of the heart is being able to live from that place of the backside of the heart chakra opened, sourcing the center of the spiritual heart expanding so that we're operating in heart flow from higher consciousness, as opposed to just from emotional wounding or needs or whatever else might be in the heart, aside from, you know, the optimal aspect of the heart chakra.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's just, I find this so auspicious because I just taught so much of this week, and I'm always like, oh, so it's just so perfect. And what I observed, and I have observed this, of course, in myself too, so it's not that I've just, like, see it in students, right? It's like I've experienced this myself, is that there is a lot of hardening in the back of the heart and a lot of bracing in the back of the heart. I notice it in men and women. Of course, I always seem to have more women in my classes, so I noticed this the other day, and I thought, okay, really need to work on this surrender piece, because it's like Atlas holding the entire world up on the back of the heart, and the weightiness, burden. That's what I kept feeling that day. It was like, oh my goodness, there's so much burden. There's so much of this feeling like we have to hold everything ourselves. This personality can't, there's no way we are going to burn up. And what I, you know, learned actually through John Friend years ago was how to begin to surrender. And then, you know, as the years have gone on, I have seen that, yes, my yoga practice taught me sort of how to do this in a bodily way, in a physical way. And now what I'm discovering through meditation is a whole nother depth of release, of letting go, of trusting in the divine, trusting in consciousness, and that it's actually quite profound, mysterious, and real. And I think it's so easy to kind of live on the surface of life, and even through asana practice, go, oh, yeah, I know how to melt my heart or whatever, but not really understand that consciousness is real, that consciousness is alive. Consciousness is a living pulsation that needs to be respected and honored and nurtured and taken care of daily. That's been my, you know, the next level for me of witnessing more and more opening and more trust. And, you know, I think that this whole thing around the back of the heart is fascinating to me, because if we're so braced and so held and so stubborn and so burdened from the back, it makes for a lot of suffering and disconnect.
Yeah, and part of that expansion, the heart expansion experience, is that we learn through our healing of our wounds, that we learn through our dedicated practices, that we learn through our consciousness, our prayers, our intentions, our meditations, that we learn how to live more like how to live more connected to grace, how to live more connected so that we're not operating from ourselves. Like life is so much harder when we live closed down. We don't realize we're probably conditioned to work hard from, you know, from ego or from, you know, unconsciousness, I'll say.
Yeah.
But when we start to practice living in connection, inevitably the heart begins to expand. And out of that, we become more tuned in with our life purpose, who we're here to be, how we're here to serve, who we're here to love. You know, we get, even on the deeper level, we get connected to all of humanity.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
You know, on another, I have another question for you, and this has to do with you being this empath, and I really was struck when you said, you know, that you were overweight growing up, and
mm-hmm.
that part of that, and I've seen this, I've definitely seen this as a yoga practitioner, and through my experiences of all kinds of students coming into class, is recognizing the healer in the room. I can see it. I can, not that we're not all healers, but specifically has certain qualities about a healer. And one of the things I have noticed is that the kind of the lack of boundary can be, and I also have struggled with this in my own ways, as you know, with our healing session, that the leakage of our energetics,
mm-hmm.
especially as an empath, that the proper boundaries in the body are very important. That as a healer, and I think many women and many mothers tend to kind of give, and don't mm-hmm. understand that one of the first premises that I've learned through my teachers and asana practice was that we are building our vessel. We're building the vessel of light. We're building protection around our light. And also around negative energies that are quite real, not only, you know, outside of ourselves, but also inside, that we have to work with consciousness to clear negativity, doubt, insecurity, and entities that aren't serving the light, that are actually quite detrimental to our living out our potential. So I'm just curious, like, how did you make that transformation, and how did you recognize that? Because, like, you're such a beautiful being. Like, you're not overweight. So you had to, must have had sort of recognition of, wow, this is leaking, or this is not congruent. This is not serving mm-hmm. my light.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, part of me, there's four levels of intuition in the body. There's the clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, claircognizant. So seeing, hearing, feeling, knowing, and we're talking about the feeling part. So the clairsentient, which is the empathic intuition, is primarily related to the second and third chakras in the body, which if we aren't nurtured in, so second chakra, we know that to be about, you know, our divine feminine, our sweetness, our sexual energy, that's the soft, the most delicate flower in the body. You can think about it that way. But the petals are so precious that if somebody were to criticize us, we'd crush. And then if someone's criticized us chronically, then not only do we crush, but we end up mirroring that voice inside us and becoming self-critical. So then we've got a chronic crushing happening inside our being. And so if we don't know to nurture this area, if we don't know how to walk energetically or spiritually into the center of our second chakra and take a seat and be totally fine just being who we're here to be, if we don't know how to do that, then we've created a vacancy in that area of the body, or an underdeveloped second chakra, and that ends up becoming basically a vacuum or a place. It's like if we don't occupy that space, something else will come in, no problem. You know, somebody else's energy will walk right in. And that's not because it's anyone's doing something wrong. I mean, we can always say, well, that person's a vampire, that person has negative energy. But the truth is, we're not sitting in ourselves. Right. We're not occupying our space. We're not standing in our power. So until I've learned how to fit in my vulnerability, and how I learned how to do that was to be perfectly fine with my anger, with my rage, with my guilt, with my shame, with my sadness, with all the shadow emotions that I, and my joy, the heart, sometimes joy is hard to feel for people, you know, and so if I'm okay sitting in the spectrum of my emotions, then I'm owning my emotional palette, and so I can hold space for myself in my upset, and that puts me in the seat of my second chakra, because I'm totally fine being a feminine being, being an emotional being. So when someone says, you know, in childhood, you're too sensitive, absolutely, damn right I am.
Right.
I'm sensitive, and I'm going to sit in my second chakra and be that sensitive being. And if I can own that, then my system will build the proper boundaries in saying, like, whoa, wait a second, I know what my anger feels like. That energy is not my anger. I know what mine feels like. I've been there. You know, I've been to
right.
the depths of it. So when we explore our own emotional palette, the spectrum of the emotions, and are okay feeling them, then I'm not taking on or caretaking someone else's, because I'm okay with somebody else having their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah, you know, it's interesting.
That boundary.
Yes, and what I have discovered, and I'm sure there are other methods, is, of course, meditation is just so mm-hmm. much more powerful than just releasing stress. It's actually working on those samskaric patterns of unworthiness, the samskaric patterns of doubt and fear and inhibition mm-hmm. and, you know, all of those things from this lifetime and past lifetimes. And so what it helps to do is not only purify the body and the mind, but it also helps to, again, create more space for your central channel to really light up. And so we start to embody more and more. We start to take on the light, there's more light than there is dark. And and that's what I've been noticing to be authentically true about consistent meditation practices is,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I don't have these huge, dramatic reactions to life, and I you know, like my family, you know, and that, you know, even if I'm scared about presenting something, I just stand up and I do it anyway, and, you know, it's like, oh, well, here I go, and, you know, it also is giving me insight on where I'm still looping, or where I'm still struggling, or where I haven't embodied enough yet, and, I'm curious. I know you have a meditation practice. Do you have other practices that help you every day attune to your intuition and to the divine?
Yeah, one practice that I always there's variations of it, but the main practice that I use every day, well, two parts to it. One is my grounding cord. So I always visualize my grounding cord every day. Obviously, being somebody who is intuitive, you know, I have to part of my quote unquote gift is that I do stay very grounded as a healer. So, but I work on that. You know, I could be pretty airy fairy, and I'm not, because I focus on my grounding and being in my body and practicing yoga to do that too. But the other part of my practice, so the grounding cord, and then I always visualize my pillar of light or the Shishumna channel in the body. I just widen that pillar so it's as wide as my shoulders or a little bit beyond my shoulders, and I imagine divine light pouring through me, and then just, you know, it moves through the pillar, and then I see it kind of clearing the chakras or illuminating the chakras in my body. So I keep this consistent pillar of light meditation, and I do it all the time. I tune into it at the grocery store. I tune into it, you know, while I'm cooking dinner or in the shower. It's my sort of, you know, I don't tune into it all day long, but, like, you know, I close my eyes and in 5 seconds I see that there throughout the day, but I'll have, like, a longer practice in the morning around visualizing my grounding cord and my pillar of light.
So yummy. And imagine that in your intuitive courses, you have a lot of tools for people.
Yeah, I do. And we go through a lot of, like, what we're talking about, really getting intimately, consciously present in the spiritual anatomy. Not just, I mean, yes, the physical body, but, you know, everyone, we've had people come to my course and say, you know, I've done the chakras, you know, a bunch of times, and I'll say, yes, and I have too for 18 years. I've been working on chakras. But at the same time, I mean, that's like a blip in time for some people. But, you know, but when we drop our consciousness more deeply in every single time, we become more embodied. So there's tools and how to, and like, how do you develop your intuition is such an interesting question because it's such a, I mean, this is like, how do you become a yogi? You know, it's like.
Right.
It's like you come through the door.
Yes.
Roll down your mat, and we'll begin at the beginning. You know, and it's such a process.
Yes. It's practice, and you know, over long periods of time, there's no way, at least from my perspective as a yogi, there's no way around not doing a practice, even if we have a heightened intuition at birth. There's still still work to do in the body and the mind, which is, I think, partly why we're here. It's this dance, this beautiful dance. So, gosh, I'm looking at our time. I'm like, whoa,
I know,
wow, there's so much coming out with us, and I love it. And I want to honor that it's time. And is there anything you want to just say to our listeners in closing about any of this?
I would just say, if I hope that the practice of Mother Mary, the visualizing the blue light and asking her to hold you in times of despair, or times of need, times of loneliness, or just when you're just feeling like you need connection, just to imagine that she's there holding your heart or holding your head or holding your belly, in some way giving some kind of nurturing to you. And it's just been a powerful practice for me, and I hope that that's a really good takeaway for you to include in your meditation practices. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
And then can you give us your website?
Yeah, my website is schoolofintuitivestudy.com. And my new book is called Expanding Your Heart, Awakening Through 4 Stages of a Spiritual Opening. And you can, if you order a book from my website, I can sign it for you and mail it. But if you order it from Amazon, I can't.
Unless you want a signed copy, you have to go to Wendy's, you know, website. Yeah. Be really sweet, and I have a copy of the book. It's beautiful, and what a great offering to the world at this time. Just love what you're doing, and I'm just so grateful that you could come on and share with the Shakti Rise again, and just keep up this beautiful work that you're doing for the planet, and your beautiful mama.
You too. Thank you. This is amazing work that you're doing. It's so good to educate the world about the goddess energy. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the calling.
Yeah.
It's the Dharma. So thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, much love.
Much love to you.